All right, welcome everyone to episode 36 of APS Radio. My name is Jim Bernica. This morning I'm joined with Megan Louts. I wanted to say Louts, but I said Louts. I said it right, right?
Don't start.
All right, so I'm done for the day. I have peaked.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm glad you're on here. It's awesome that you're joining me today, and I know it won't be long before you're here in Ohio at our exotic Beaver Creek Firefighter Conference. It's kind of funny. I've never seen you talk, right? And usually,
well, you will this year.
I know, but usually the people that I have out to the conference, I get to see live in person usually ahead of time. But for this, I was taking Nick's word on it. Nick saw you in Florida last year, and then you know, he also mentioned that I should ask Stephanie about you to kind of vouch for you. And I remember reaching out to Stephanie and said, what's the deal with this Megan girl? And she goes on to tell me that the first time she ever met you, you were with the recruits and you were dressed up as Bacon.
Yes, that sounds about accurate. Yeah. That was my Halloween costume. I had a sign that said, eat more kale. So it was like Chick-fil-A kale, firefighter edition.
Yes. So, but like, as soon as she said that you dressed up as Bacon and that you were just different. You actually got
the word for it.
Steph told me, if you're going to have anybody at your conference talk about nutrition, it was you. So
that's very kind of her. Yeah. She spoils me.
Yeah. So how, let's back up now that we've kind of set that up of how, you know, I got to knowing you, and I know I'll be able to see you live in person later this year, but how did all this even come about? How did you end up becoming a dietitian and personal trainer for a fire department?
Yeah. So, initially I thought I was going to be a sports dietitian, maybe working for a sports team. My first job was at Northrop Grumman as a corporate wellness dietitian. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm just going to stay here forever. And then they laid us off like a year later. So I got lucky and I just kind of fell into a position. It was a wellness program manager position with Montgomery County Fire, Police, Public Safety in general. And they, you know, for the most part, fire and police just took really well to me. And I think it wasn't because necessarily my personality, but more of like, I was like, okay, well, you have the CPAT. So maybe I should take that and see if I can pass it. I should probably do a 24-hour shift. I should do and try and feel the job and understand the job, because while I'm an expert in nutrition, you guys are an expert in your jobs and in your lifestyle. And if I just, you know, continue to rant on about my plate and getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night, I would have missed the boat entirely. So I think for me, like for a civilian who's never had a firefighter in her family, I'm married to an IT guy. Like, I really needed to understand the job before I started going on my nutrition tangents. And that's how I've tailored my nutrition stuff since. So yeah, I think by doing so, that helped me really build the rapport. It helped me learn the language. It helped me learn that if I add in some profanities, it seems to engage the firefighters a lot more. Plus, it's really interesting to see your faces when you find out I talk back. So yeah, that's how I got here.
That's good. That's good. We need somebody that, first of all, like you did, and to come in and actually like really invest some time and energy into figuring out what we do and how we do it. I think that that's huge. What you did, that's what everybody should do when they're getting on a fire department, whatever the position is. And then, yeah, to talk like us. I mean, that's another big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually catches you guys pretty off guard. You're like, oh, we'll bring a little blonde lady to the station. It can go so bad. And then they're like, oh, geez.
She's feisty.
She's, yeah.
She can hold her own.
That's good. Yeah, we have to.
That's good because we will. And I'm speaking kind of for all of us, because I've seen it before. Like, we'll run over people that that will not stick up for themselves or not fight. I mean, we almost, in a weird way, we tend to test outsiders.
Yes.
And did that happen to you? Did you feel that was happening?
Yeah, but
A
it
different
definitely,
term.
so the challenge with dietitian, like part of the reason I think that dietitians don't do very well in the first responder space is you guys, one, already have kind of a negative perception of us, or you've had dietitians come out and try in the past who were like vegan and they ran marathons and they just couldn't understand that like talking vegan marathon lady is only going to hit maybe like 2% of the first responder population. You know, you guys like your meats. Most of the time, you're not there's not a whole lot of endurance athletes, while there are some, and it just misses the boat. You know, they come in dressed like HR in their fancy dresses, and you're like, you know, that you guys clam up immediately, compared to if someone comes in dressed like a strength coach, throwing some profanities around when appropriate, and you know, bringing snacks. You know, bribery is always important. So I think that's part of the reason that I found success is just really tailoring the approach. And every time I made a mistake, I said, okay, I made the mistake. How can I make it better? And I've made a ton of them. I just kept hanging around.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You know, and you mentioned bringing snacks, bribing them. That is always, I think, been key to getting allowing visitors to even enter the firehouse. But a lot of times those snacks are, you know, your donuts or cookies or whatever crazy stuff. What are you actually bringing in? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so what I've kind of perfected it down to is either smoothie demos, wrap demos, or dinner demos. And the reason for that is like when you go to a fire station, at least most of them, they don't have like an AV system. Like they don't have presentations and PowerPoints. And you guys have the ADHD. So if I just come out there with the presentations and the PowerPoints, you'll be asleep in about 5 minutes. Now, what I do is I usually make the smoothie. I have little talking points during that smoothie, like here's the peanut butter, here's some things on peanut butter, here's the spinach, here's some thing on spinach, whey protein, here's some things on whey protein. And then you guys get to try a smoothie, and I can kind of weave my tangents in and keep your attention with snacks. So yeah, I usually stick to the Reese's smoothie, the berry smoothie, buffalo chicken wraps. And then dinners, I do a Cajun chicken pasta. So all of this stuff is like not super dietitian sounding. It's not kale and quinoa. It's like healthier versions of stuff that's portable, quick, and convenient that you guys can take on the go with a predictably unpredictable job.
Perfect. And for the members of your department, I imagine if they wanted one-on-one, you know, time with you, that's part of the services that you provide, right? I imagine.
Correct. So yeah, so currently I'm with Fairfax Fire and Police. So that's about 1,400 firefighters and 1,600 police officers are now under me. So a majority of my time is actually spent doing one-on-one coaching. So about 15 to 20 first responders a week, and then 3 to 5 presentations, smoothie demos, that kind of thing a month. The individual coaching is pretty time-consuming, as you can imagine, but it's very effective. To get people where they need to be, it just takes probably a little longer than the Nutrisystems and the keto and the carnivore and all those other fad diets, but they're more sustainable.
Were you the first dietitian for Fairfax, or was there somebody ahead of you?
There was a dietitian prior to who was a contractual dietitian, but she just wasn't the right fit. You know, maybe a little too nuts and seeds, sticks and berries kind of vibe. So it, you know, ended up fizzling out a little bit, but yeah.
Okay. I was just curious if you were the one that kind of walked in there and like had to start from complete scratch, or it sounds like you still probably had to do that to some
Yes.
extent.
Yeah. So there's no roadmap for first responder dietitians. I know about 3 to 5 across the country who might work full time for a department.
Yeah.
You know, very few and far between. And part of it is we haven't really figured out how to demonstrate return on investment as well as athletic trainers and physical therapists, right? Like they can say, we have workers' comp data that shows we are somewhere between a 6 and 10 times, you know, investment per dollar. That's not the right word, but the return on investment is very high. For me, it's primarily weight loss, body composition improvements, helping with cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, and other medical management, which I think a lot of people don't realize that that's why dietitians can be different than nutritionists, unless you're a certified nutrition specialist. Dietitians can work with people on medical conditions, which is important for first responders.
Yeah. No, I imagine you had to deal with some of the same stuff I did. Like I was, the analytics that I was tracking were more on the behavioral health side of things, but it was still really hard to show and prove my work because I knew that a lot of it was more long-term. And the other thing I had to deal with was the whole confidentiality factor for me. But I imagine it's still that difficult to be able to show your work and to show that this is going to pay off because it is going to pay off, but it's going to be years down the road.
Correct. And there's going to be speed bumps, right? I mean, if, I'm working with a first responder and now they're getting a divorce, you know, the bar is going to be a lot lower. They're not going to see progress as fast typically because their life has completely exploded. So, and that's pretty common. And also confidentiality is a big thing for dietitians as well. I mean, I try not to, until someone says, Hey, Megan, I've been working with you for a while. I'm not going to address someone as such because diet is also pretty private for first responders. And there is some HIPAA compliance, especially on the medical side. So I try to keep things very guarded with who I'm working with.
No, that makes sense. Do you also work with the recruits for the police and fire?
Yeah, I work with recruits and like CPAT candidates a lot more in Montgomery County. Fairfax, it's been a little bit more challenging with just depending on who's in charge and stuff like that. But yes, I actually have a whole nutrition academy for recruits that I sell through my business, Rescue RD. And it's literally tailored to, here's how you eat for the academy so you don't die. Here's how you eat nutrition, just basic 101. Here's how you eat EMS to fire, because EMS to fire is completely different animal. And then here's how you eat in the firehouse. So everything that I have is like really tailored down to make it easier for first responders to do a little bit better, whether that's non-perishable foods, frozen foods. I have a whole handout called Go Bag Grabs. All of that stuff is tailored to make it easier to eat on the go when you just don't have the time.
That's awesome. And you can, if you're able to do that early on from the start, I mean, they have that education then from out and you're kind of setting them up for success.
Well, and they have that built-in relationship, right? So if I come out and they already start to feel comfortable with me, I'm not the scary vegetable lady who just told them to eat kale throughout the whole academy. And some of the recommendations worked for them, then they usually feel comfortable because we do see on average, I've seen up to 20 pounds gained in the 6 months after the academy, because you send them to those busy stations. It might be a brats and tots station that doesn't really eat super healthy. They just have trouble adjusting. So at least that barrier is reduced. And that expectation's in place. We have a dietitian. It's important. It actually works. It helped me prevent feeling like garbage in the academy. My muscle soreness went down. Those kinds of things.
Nice. Now I wanted to, this kind of out of nowhere, but I wanted to share a quote. I'll share the quote to see if you know who it is, but I think it kind of builds on that, just everything you're doing. So here's a quote. If I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. You know who that is?
Don't know who that is, but I imagine that's pretty relevant for a lot of people once they're a couple years into retirement.
Well, it's actually, so this quote is from Mickey Mantle, who was a big time. And when he's referring to this, he's referring really to his alcoholism. He had a big, long fight with that and it cut his life short. But looking back now at being retired and now just everything that I'm dealing with, you know, like last week, you know, a week ago today, I was told, hey, you're diabetic. I really feel like with everything I've had going on, like none of it was like acute. It's all been built on of just decades of abuse of me treating my body like crap. And here I am now then trying to just fix it and continue to stay alive, you know? So I do think, you know, I preach a lot about the cancer and the behavioral health, but this is all part of that too. If you're able to actually take care of yourself early on, it all matters later on. Everything we're doing early on in our life is going to catch up to us. And we don't really think that way when we're starting the job, because we end up having to feel like, and I'm going on a little bit of a soapbox, but we have that feeling of invincible, nothing is going to happen to us. Like, we're good until it does. And sometimes, like right now, it takes a couple of decades before that stuff comes into effect. So I love the fact that you're starting early on, because that will follow them throughout their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, it's interesting that you say that, because I usually start a lot of my presentations off talking about the seasons of the career. And you guys know this because you know how to promote. Like, it's pretty clear process. It's not a fun process, but it's, but usually, like, recruits, they're pretty active. They don't have a whole lot of time to eat. So we typically see them lose a significant amount of body fat, maybe weight, during the academy. As a probie, that starts to increase potentially, depending on how active they are, depending on the type of station they're at, the food choices, that kind of thing. But that, you know, next step of being a firefighter, that 20, 25, 30 year career, depending on where you're at, that career beats you up. I mean, everybody will tell you it's a young man or woman's job, right? You have injuries. We see a lot of back, neck, shoulder, knee injuries. Most of my retirees have like three of the four at some point. Promotional processes, most people eat like absolute garbage during the promotional process because it just eats up a lot of time. Overtime, callback, all of those things start to wear on you, including post-traumatic stress or exposure to trauma. So what we actually see is about a 20 to 30, I think as high as 50 pound weight gain over the course of that career, because the calorie intake goes up and the physical activity tanks. Because especially from a physical activity standpoint, if you love powerlifting, you blow out your shoulder. Most people aren't going to running, right? Like, it takes the joy out of working out when things hurt and ache. And then the nutrition, sleep deprivation. We see a 24% increase in appetite just with one night of bad sleep. There's an 18% increase in leptin, the hunger suppressing hormone, and a 28% increase in ghrelin, the hunger stimulating hormone. So we see this significant jump in high sodium, high sugar, portion size after someone's had a bad night of sleep. And if you're at one of those stations where you're running four calls after midnight on a regular basis, you can see why people, their firefighters, see the significant weight gain over the course of the career. And a lot of people just say, oh, well, you just need to suck it up. You know, you signed up for this. You're the firefighter. You're supposed to protect your community. You need to just suck it up and deal with it. But try telling that to someone in the middle of a divorce, or, you know, in the middle of, PTSD, like a kind of flare up or whatever you want to call it. So I think sometimes when people see my presentations, they think I'm putting the bar too low, but really I'm trying to give you a ladder to get to that second story window, where some professionals are just like, get to the second story window without that ladder and figure it out. You know what I mean? A stepwise approach seems to work better for a lot of our first responders, because you don't have a 9-to-5, you don't have predictability in your career. So we need to figure out how to learn to adjust instead of being black or white.
Perfect. How does that, you talked about us, being busy, nonstop, working. How does all this work? And I guess what I'm asking is kind of your opinion of how caffeine plays a role in all this as well.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I very rarely recommend any first responders going cold turkey with caffeine. The typical recommendation is to keep it under 400 milligrams of caffeine a day. And the reason I go with that number is because if I came in as a dietitian to first responders and told you all to cut out caffeine, you would set me on fire, and then it was a job in my life, right? So that 400 mark is roughly 30 to 40 ounces total of coffee in a day. isn't horrible. Like that's a mug in the morning and a mug in the afternoon, like a decent sized mug in the morning and a decent sized mug in the afternoon. Where first responders go wrong is with the energy drinks, the pre-workout. Now we have pre-workout and coffee and dip pouches, which is probably going to kill half of our military, if not most of our first responders. So it starts to add up. And what I've seen is, you know, you're a rookie, one energy drink doesn't work anymore. You build a tolerance, so you add another one. Now everybody's lifting at 4 o'clock, so you're going to add a scoop of pre-workout, have a coffee after dinner, and you're at 800 to 1200 milligrams of caffeine. So one, that increased the risk for side effects, right? Cardiac issues, insomnia, anxiety. You guys usually just overlook that. You're like, I need to be awake. Side effects are side effects, right? But the concern I have is how that's going to impact your sleep. So if you have that cup of coffee, it might not prevent you from falling asleep. It's going to screw with your sleep cycles. You'll spend less time in rapid eye movement sleep and less time in deep sleep. So you wake up the next day feeling like garbage. What do you reach for more? Well, caffeine. That becomes a self-fulfilling cycle. So when I get my first responders to pull back to like maybe 600, 400 milligrams of caffeine, they're like, wait a minute, my sleep improved. So my energy levels improved, but I don't need as much caffeine as I thought I needed. Now, where I've seen this become maybe a little bit more disordered, and you know, this is just kind of anecdotal, I've seen some of my first responders get on that overtime train because there's stuff going on at home, you know, maybe issues with their spouse, issues with kids. So they're kind of avoiding being home by doing the overtime. When the overtime is leading to a higher caffeine intake, I've seen as high as 2000 milligrams a day. If I tell that person to go cold turkey with caffeine, not only will the migraine that they'll get pretty much kill them, I'm also concerned about the mood. There's a decrease in mood when you cut caffeine like that. And sometimes people use caffeine as that upper to pull them out of the feelings, for lack of better term. So sometimes that might mean like we might need to send you somewhere like the Center for Excellence or something like that to kind of figure things out because it's gotten that bad. Or other times, you know, you're working with a dietitian or a therapist and a therapist ideally, where, you know, if you're doing Bang energy drinks and you're doing five of those a day, my first step is going to be trying to switch to Monster, which is half the caffeine. So kind of stepwise approaches to slowly pull back.
Nice. It just for whatever reason I thought of this question. I'll ask you. This is completely random.
Yeah.
If you have a 5-hour energy drink and you drink half of it, do you only get 2.5 hours of energy, or is it a little bit less energy over 5 hours? I really don't care about the answer. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, that sounds like very firefighter math. Right? If I only have, yeah, I actually, I don't hate that because that's a great approach, right? Now, do I know
We're
if it's
gonna,
technically
you and
two
I
and a
are gonna
half hours?
start 6-hour energy.
Yeah, I mean, if I could get something that was 24-hour energy, I think I'd be rolling in it from a first responder standpoint.
Yeah, indeed. There's all sorts of these diets out there, whether and you know, your keto, your carnivore, your vegan, Mediterranean, there, I mean, all some of these are fads, some of these are not. Like, is there any that ultimately you're kind of like siding with? Like, this is going to be good for our population more so than the others?
So I prefer, or I lean towards the Mediterranean diet. And Dr. Kales, I think out of Harvard, has actually done some research specifically in firefighters and found that it was very effective in reducing cardiac issues in first responders. And also, there was another study that compared, I think it was keto, paleo, Mediterranean diet, and the Engine 2 diet. Do you remember the Engine 2 diet?
I
Or have you
don't
heard of it? So the
know.
Engine 2 diet was made by a firefighter, I think out of Texas. And it was low fat vegan, which is fine. Like vegan diets, vegetarian diets are great diets if you want to follow them. I just find it hard to believe that that's reading the room, you know? And that study that compared all those diets found that the Engine 2 firefighters preferred the Engine 2 the very least, And the most preferred diet was the Mediterranean diet. And the reason that this is important is you need to find a diet that you can be consistent with for a decent season of your life. Not 2 months, not 2 weeks, you know, at least a year. Something that can be adjustable for when you go on vacation, or adjustable when you have to take like 72 hours of overtime or something like that, you know, something ridiculous. So that you can actually adjust it. So the Mediterranean diet is pretty flexible. It emphasizes fruits, veggies, whole grains, very high in antioxidants, important for cancer and cardiovascular disease prevention. You can find those things in non-perishable options. And it does include a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of sugar for razzle dazzle. Compared to some of these other diets that just eliminate whole food groups, and the next thing you know, you can't have a cupcake at your kid's birthday party or a beer at your captain's retirement. And my question is it worth it? And for some people, it might be for a short term, but then you need to work with someone to figure out how to make that actually sustainable long term once you're ready to be done with that diet.
Yeah, this is all, it's all very interesting to me, and I'm trying to navigate through it. I know what I've been doing isn't working, and I know I need to do something different. And this show isn't necessarily about me. It is about me. It is my show, I guess. But like everybody else, there's a lot of other people that are having the same issues. I could tell you, I don't know if you've seen this show or not, but my wife and I finished it last night on the Netflix, the You Are What You Eat Twin Edition. Did you have a chance to see that yet?
Most of the dietitians I know try to avoid the Netflix documentaries because they're heavily biased. And then people, you know, go to the store and buy everything vegan and, you know, spend a gazillion dollars on a diet that lasts them a week and a half. And it just becomes a cycle every time Netflix comes out with a new documentary. But if it gets you to eat healthier and it works for you, I'm happy for you to do that diet or follow that, right? I think first responders and anyone has the autonomy to choose what type of diet they want to choose. My biggest thing, my question will be, can you stick to it?
Exactly. And there was, like you said, there was definitely a bias in there. And although it was interesting having identical twins, one eating meat, one not, and what it did over a 2 month period. That was interesting, but like I found myself just going, can I do this? And it was quite simply, it was like, I don't think I can. Can I take away some of this stuff? Like, is some of this, I think, information good? Yes. But like, I'm realistic enough. I know how I am. I know what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Yeah, well, I agree. And, you know, you can also like do a plant-based diet. So plant-based doesn't mean vegan. It just means you're emphasizing plants. And for me, I recommend a plant-based diet because the first thing that first responders kind of throw out the window when you get tired and cranky is what? Fruits and vegetables, because they're lame and they take time and nobody wants a fruit cup of Chick-fil-A when you could get French fries at 2 a.m. Well, if it's open. You get what I'm saying.
Not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday, right. Wow. So, you know, the other thing too is from like a health prevention standpoint, a lot of the studies I've seen, if you push and eat a ton of fruits and vegetables, but you still eat meat, you still see similar health benefits to vegan and vegetarian. And you might even get a little extra muscle gain out of it. So that balanced diet approach actually still works pretty well. So a lot of my recommendations are upsizing the fruit and vegetables because I know that's what first responders are missing. And that can be things that are portable. So I'm a big applesauce pouch shill. I don't know if you've done applesauce pouches before. But like
the kids.
Yes, baby food. Yes, I recommend baby food. Why do I recommend baby food? It's a non-perishable serving of fruit that is super portable and will last 6 months or more. They're perfect pre-workout. They don't bother your stomach. And you know how, like, if you're doing an hour workout, maybe in the morning, and the weights suddenly start to feel heavy, or you're running or walking through sludge, that's an indicator that your carb stores are kind of running out. So if we put an applesauce pouch or two at the beginning of the workout, workouts improve, the energy levels during the workouts improve. So applesauce pouches, smoothie pouches are something that I'm a big fan of. They're perfect for recruits or firefighters during trainings between evolutions. They're also great because you never touch the food, right? From a cancer prevention perspective. So I love applesauce pouches. All of my wraps, the buffalo chicken wraps, has a handful of coleslaw veggies, like the one you get at the store for $1 pack. You didn't have to cut it up. You didn't have to shred it. Full serving of veggie in the wrap. Smoothies have a handful of spinach. It turns it green, but it doesn't change anything other than that. So basically trying to sneak those fruits and vegetables into portable, packable things.
Perfect. Right. I know, again, we mentioned before, you're coming to a conference in Ohio in October. What are you going to talk about when we're there?
Sure. Yeah. So we went with one of my most popular presentations, which is healthy-ish eating for firefighters.
Yes.
And I like healthy-ish because it's like, listen, you're talking to a dietitian who eats ice cream pretty much every night. Because I do better with a little bit of sweet every night after dinner compared to, and if I don't do that, what happens is then I go on a bender, you know, on Saturday or Sunday. So I think incorporating your favorite foods as well as fruits and vegetables and emphasizing the healthy stuff is important. And for first responders, it's the same thing, because what do they bring to large alarms, you know, as a food choice? It's usually pizza. Sometimes you're going to have to eat like a raccoon, right? So kind of scavenging kind of thing. So healthiest eating for first responders just basically shows you how to eat when you don't have time, money, or energy, and how to pick better choices when you have the opportunity to do so, and how to plan so that you have things available when you do get stuck on a call and it's like a 4-hour gas leak and you haven't eaten lunch. What do you have in your go bag that'll get you so that you don't eat everything that's not tied down when you get back to the station? So it's very tangible, quick advice for first responders.
Perfect. I'm very much looking forward to it. In the meantime, if any of the listeners or viewers wanted to, in a non-creepy way, reach out to you, where would they find you at?
Yeah, so you can email me, Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at RescueRD. RescueRD.com is my website. So I have a free recipe book for station dinners, $5 to $6 a head, as best I can in this economy, for 6, 10, and 14 firefighters. Half a pound of protein per person. And the serving size is, if it's a Pinterest family of four, that's 2 firefighters, right? So larger portions, because I don't think it's fair to assume your portion size when I don't know what kind of calls you're going to run that day. That's available. That has the Cajun chicken pasta, which is a favorite. And then I'm on Instagram and TikTok at rescue.rd, and I post 6 times a week on firefighter nutrition.
So you're take Sunday off just like Chick-fil-A?
Yes. I try. Listen, I can't do it. It's hard enough. This social media thing.
You know what? I'm amazing at MySpace still.
I should probably reinvest. I don't even want to see what mine looks like. I would have been like 13.
Or, you know, I got a pretty good following on OnlyFans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that probably wouldn't work out so well for me.
Well, I mean, it's just my feet, so nobody really knows.
Hey, you got to make your money somehow.
Hey, I'm, yeah, fixed income now.
I support it.
Yeah. Right. We should end on that. Oh, I'm going to get fired from my free job here.
Listen, got to keep them interested somehow.
That's right. That's right. So you're Megan. And I am Jim. Come join us live in Ohio in October. That's going to be exoticbeavercreek.com is the website. That's not a naughty website. That's actually our website. It's funny. Wrestling themed, pro wrestling. Remember that? Who are you gonna dress up as?
We got
Bacon. Yes, it's. Oh, yes.
Not the first time I brought my bacon costume to a conference, so don't tempt me.
That's fine. We've had Pat Kenny with a Superman cape, mm-hmm. So you'll fit in good.
I can add a cape.
Aaron Zamzow last year wore like a flight suit, and he went as Maverick.
So it's encouraged to wear the bacon costume at my healthiest eating for firefighters because that would be easier. I wouldn't have to do my hair.
I think so. I mean, it's the thing, like the conference itself is it's serious topics, but yet we try to have fun.
Yeah, I don't know how serious they could take me with 60 minutes in a bacon costume based off of the time I've worn it for Halloween. And my clients are like, can you just take the hood part off?
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We're going to have silly stuff aplenty. So, but anyway, she's Megan and I am Jim, and I'll let her get out of here and have the rest of her day. Talk to all you listeners and viewers next month. Thank you.